Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on here, and your Milwaukee Brewers, just one game over 500. And it is way, way, way too early to even have this conversation, but for what it's worth, I believe they are currently last in the NL Central. Again, games separating these teams, so not worth the panic. But 5-5 over their last 10, and starting a series against the Diamondbacks at AmFam Field. We are efforting Jeff Levering this morning to join the Brewers. Gabe, we have talked about how the Brewers just need to basically survive until they get some of their offensive guys back, some of these guys in the lineup back from injury. How do you think they've done?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, you're going to have stretches, you know, where you're playing 500 baseball for a month, and that's basically what they've done here. This was their start, and I'm not saying they're going to win 97 games, but this is kind of where they were a year ago. And it started 0-4, terribly awful, and they fought their way back pretty early to get to a very similar spot. So again, I don't look at the divisional standings, don't really care until we hit, you know, Memorial Day. Then you start kind of checking in, looking around, seeing where you're at, seeing where you got to get better at. And yeah, their offense hasn't hit a home run in a long time now. Hopefully Bernie starts going down that slide in the series against the Diamondbacks starting today. And the bullpen needs to be a little bit sharper. They've had some leads that they just haven't held on to. So I think it's things that are going to be easily correctable for the Brewers, especially once the bats of Vaughn, Churio, and Yelich get healthy.
But is this year different, Gabe? I know every year we wait for the Reds to tank, we wait for the Pirates to tank. I mean, St. Louis has been down. But could this be a year they don't tank?
I doubt it. Doubt it. Like somebody's gonna
good.
Fall.
Cincinnati's like, not good though with some of the moves they made.
They're okay, but I mean it's not, this division's not gonna end with everybody over 500. You know, like at some point Someone's gonna, you know, teams are gonna start losing games. And I just trust the Brewers and the roster that they have, especially with the starting pitching that they have, that's ultimately going to rise to the top.
27 games in, they are 14-13. 27 games in last year, they were 13-14. To Gabe's point about how we're not all that far off from last year's pace, slightly better actually. And last year obviously was a historic year for your Milwaukee Brewers. Time now to talk to Jeff Levering, who joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. How should fans feel about this first month of the season as we almost put a bow on the month of April?
Well, I don't think this month of April feels like the year of April from last year. And to your point, just a couple of moments ago, the team in late May was under 500 last season and still won on a tear and won 97 games. I think that the Brewers, where they are right now, they should be very happy with where they are. With a 30-year offense basically missing, starting pitching with one guy in that rotation that has 1 year of experience under his belt in terms of Brandon Woodruff, and that's it. Nobody else has a full season of Major League Baseball under their belt. I'd take a couple of games over 500 right now, considering what's on this roster. They're doing fine. Now, the month of May is going to be a grind. Some tough teams that are in there. You got to get the Cardinals a couple times. The Yankees come to town. You got the Padres. Got the Dodgers coming. But at the same time, I feel pretty good with where the Brewers are right now.
Jeff, I know we talk about it in football where you can't use injuries as an excuse to an extent. Is it the same in baseball? Because they were beat up last year. To me, they just don't, and I think you alluded to it, they don't look the same as they did.
No, it's different. You're right. They do look different. Nobody's using injuries as an excuse either. Murph talks about it all the time. It's about opportunity. It's about opportunity for these guys. You want to prove that you're a big league player every day? Go out there and prove it. My favorite line always, whether it's in the minor leagues, the big leagues, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is, my favorite line is, if you don't like it, then play better, right? If you don't like it, play better. And if you're the Brewers, if you don't like the way that things are going right now, then play better. You can't help some of the things that are happening with injuries or what your schedule is. You just go out there and you go play, and you let the chips fall where they may. I think the Brewers are still playing their style of baseball. The offense has been inconsistent this year, but they'll find it. They'll be okay.
Jeff, what have you seen as the difference for Trevor McGill over the last five outings? I know it was two really rough ones, and you know the panic set in because the ERA hit double digits after the rough outings against Washington and Toronto. But the last five outings, he has struck out seven. The only run he's allowed was the ghost runner that starts on second base in the extra innings game at Miami. What have you seen that's been different for Trev?
He's throwing a lot more strikes, and his fastball is working up in the zone more, which allows that breaking ball to be on the same plane and dive down. He's just throwing a lot more strikes. I think his stuff, he's throwing it with more conviction. That's a big part of it. I kind of throw that Washington appearance out the window because they were just bunting all over him. He was really scuffling, and the wheels fell off there. Toronto, okay, fine, you have a bad outing. I think everybody has a bad outing every now and again. Even Trevor had a couple of those last season in an All-Star year. But I just feel like he's in a much better situation with where his command is. Yeah, he's a couple of ticks down in his velocity, 96, 97 miles an hour. But if he's throwing it on the correct plane up in the zone with his fastball so that curveball comes down and tumbles for him, he's going to be in good shape. And he's throwing his curveball for strikes too. He can steal some strikes at the beginning of an at-bat with that curveball. So I just think that he's in a better spot.
He's been kind of used now all over the place. Do you see him transitioning back into the ninth inning, or can he kind of become the fire extinguisher the way Andrew Miller was for teams like the Cardinals? I mean, that's probably a decade ago at this point, where, for those who don't know, Andrew Miller was a tremendous relief pitcher, but he never closed games. He just kind of came in and put out little fires here and there if happened to be in the sixth or seventh. What do you think his role is going to be going forward?
Yeah, sometimes, Gabe, that safe situation does come in the sixth or seventh inning. It depends on the pocket of the lineup. I think going into each game, the Brewers are going to have a pocket, and they go, okay, if push comes to shove and we need you to get these three outs, these are going to be your three guys to get if you're starting an inning. Or I don't see them bringing him in with guys on base. But, hey, if you're going to start an inning and it's 3-4-5 in the sixth or the seventh inning, they might use him in that situation. Could he go back into the ninth inning or pitch in extra innings to pick up saves? Absolutely, I think so. I think the trust is starting to come back for Trevor.
Jeff Levering joins us right now on the Yingling Hotline. Yingling now officially in Wisconsin. Enjoy responsibly. Boston Red Sox fans were absolutely catatonic over the weekend after watching Kyle Harrison have one of his best games ever, feeling like they got fleeced once again by the brilliant front office in Milwaukee. What has been the difference for him?
Well, I would say first and foremost, tough to be a Red Sox fan right now. They had a tough weekend, but that's okay. The Brewers are better for it. Listen, Kyle Harrison, he had a really healthy offseason. That's number one. It's the first time he's had a healthy offseason, I think, since his rookie year in 2023-ish, 2024. So the fact that he had a healthy offseason to work on things, he had a pitching coach that inherited him for an entire offseason, basically, even though the trade didn't happen until February. He didn't get traded to a team that tried to switch things midseason. A little thing, just moving over to the first base side of the rubber instead of working in the middle of the rubber, makes his stuff look different. But I think it all comes down to him just having a really good offseason. That fastball's electric. I go back to a story that I was told from spring training where Jackson Chourio jumped in against Kyle Harrison and he struck him out, and Chourio skipped the line to get back in because he wanted to see it again. He goes, "Dude, I couldn't pick the ball up. So I want to see what this guy's throwing again." So that those are the little things where you go, okay, well, if Jackson Churio's having a tough time picking a ball up against this guy, what's everybody else thinking about? So I just think that he's throwing with a lot more confidence. He's got a franchise that believes in him, and he's throwing loose and easy. It's great. It's great to watch. He was dominant the other day.
Jeff, what do you do with Frelick? I mean, I know he's struggling. He's taking a little bit of heat here. Do you let him play through it? Do you sit him when Churio comes back? Does he have enough clout where you don't send him down? What do you do?
You got to have him in right field. I mean, he's a gold glove right fielder. You trust that his at-bats are going to get better, and I think they have been. The hits are going to come for him. I think he continues to have long at-bats and puts pressure on pitchers, so that's always a helpful tool as well. Not just for his at-bats, but at-bats that follow his, because he's running pitch counts up, and it might not result in a base hit or a walk or something, but it affects the next hitter and the next hitter after that. So there is a trickle-down effect to some of these ABs. I think that he has enough staying power. He has enough of that veteran leadership within the franchise that I don't think that they're going to contemplate sending him down. I think he's going to be just fine.
Confidence? Is it like a golfer who all of a sudden just loses it and like where the hell it go? And
I don't know about that. I think that he just needs to get a two hit game. He's only had one multi-hit game this season. Go out there and go 2-for-2. I mean, he had a game the other day on Saturday where he's 0-for-0 with two walks and two sacks.
Strangest stat line.
Right? I love those stat lines. It's like, you didn't even have that bat. You're right, but I was productive because I took two walks and I had two sack flies and I helped my team get back in that ball game.
Wasn't he dealing with some back tightness on Saturday as well? Wasn't there some concern that maybe that was going to be a lingering? I know that Murph was like, it's not. I guess I worry about him from a competitor standpoint, Jeff, in that even if he might need a day or two, he wants to be out there for his team, you know, continuing to take those hacks.
Yeah, he doesn't know any different, Jen. I mean, he wants to be out there every single day. He wants to go through a fence and then pick up the baseball and, you know, do a Taka Tanaka for Major League Two where he pounds into the wall and the wall falls on him. And then you see his hand pop up through the wall. Like, I caught it! Taka Tanaka!
This is
that's
why I love
Sal.
Jeff.
That's what Sal wants to do.
Because
I just bust
guy.
Out those crazy references.
I mean, who else is busting out Major League 2 references, Jeff? Like, maybe Major League, but Taka Tanaka. I mean, again, fantastic reference. I love it. I don't know how many other people did, but this is why Jeff's the
Pedro
best.
Pedro Serrano's, he's tagged out administering CPR to a pigeon.
Again, very specific. Is Bernie going down the slide tonight? Are we going to end this streak?
God, I hope so. It's been a while. This is a tough dry spell for the old Brew Crew hitting home runs. They've hit 19 home runs on this season. 16 of them have been hit at home. So I would say, by law of averages, today is a good night to hit a home run.
Have you gone down the slide?
I have multiple times with my children.
Okay.
I was more scared than my children were.
Really?
That's no joke.
Didn't a guy break his arm?
Oh, that. So, yes, but that was take two. So he went up the slide and went down the slide a first time and then forgot to hit record on his phone. So he got a little high in his britches and recorded it and didn't land the dismount. And that's when he folded up and broke his wrist. So that's on him. That first drop is pretty...
I didn't realize that was the second take. I think you're breaking some news.
Take
here.
Two.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, but come on. That was take two. Dave Vasse.
Had no idea that was the second take when the Dodgers reporter broke his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still one of my favorite memes when they introduce him. He's in the sling and he just does this.
So good. Before we let you go, Jeff, on the injury front, and I know that they remind us of this during every broadcast, but who are you expecting of the guys who are currently injured to be back on the field first?
I would throw, if I was a betting man, I would put a couple bucks on Jackson Churio being the first guy back. He's been swinging pain-free for about a week, which is good. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out for a rehab assignment in the next couple of days. Andrew Vaughn is going to get reevaluated, I think, on either tomorrow or Thursday. So he could go back out on a rehab assignment as well. So you could, by the next road trip, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, you could potentially see those two guys back in that Brewers lineup.
That is excellent news. Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great day. And you know what?
Appreciate you guys, Sam.
We'll talk to you again soon.
You will. Next week. Next week in St. Louis.
That's what they tell me. Have a good one.
See you guys.
I got to figure out a different out. Because I fall into the trap of saying the same thing to every Jason.
Yeah.
Adam. Jeff.
Gotta you can just say again, we'll talk to you next week. Because again, these are people that are on consistent. Jason, hey, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Talk to you on Friday. Do all those different, you know.
I got it.
Have you guys been down the slide?
Yeah, multiple times.
Really? I don't think I have. I don't think I ever went.
Crazy?
You guys went, like, when we had the GKB day, when the opportunity was there, I was out of town on a shoot.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was one of the times that I went down. Another time, we were doing a promotion with X-Golf at AmFam Field. So Steven Watson and I, we were doing on the tee out there, so we went down a couple of times. Yeah, the second time we went down is a little quicker, and I don't know if it was because it was a little later in the year. It was a little more humid. So you have to go down on, like, a mat. You're not just going down on your own butt. So you're going down on this mat, and I don't know if because there was a little bit moisture, it made it a little slicker. So the second time that I went down, it was a little faster, and I can see how if you kind of lose your bearings, how that guy ended up breaking an arm. Like, if you just don't pay attention to what you're doing.
We were on a Royal Caribbean cruise where they have the slide in the back.
Okay.
Is it a water slide?
No, I think it was just a slide. So I tried doing it, and it wasn't the biggest slide. And I brought my knees up, and the slide wasn't that big, and I wound up burning the crap out of my knees because they were rubbing on the top of the slide.
On the top? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Never again. Seems like a skill issue.
So I'm kind of, I have a phobia now.
Why would you try to cannonball a slide?
Good question.
Like, you're already, like, questionable size for the slide.
I can tell you why. The drink package.
Thank you, Josh.
It's easy peasy.
Thank you.
That's a liner.
You know, it makes sense. You put two and two together, turns out it does equal four. You ever notice
it hurt
that
the next day a lot more than it did that day?
Again, something else that adds up. Makes sense. Did you ever notice that some people are picky when it comes to their beer? But Yuengling gets it. That's why they brew a beer for every taste. Start with the legend. A Yuengling traditional lager. That's what's in my refrigerator right now. A smooth amber lager that's been around longer than our great football rivalries. Then there's light lager. Crisp, easy drinking, golden pilsner with a clean, refreshing taste. And then there's also the black and tan, which is the perfect blend of porter and pilsner. So whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, or just kicking back at home, I'm always reaching for a Yuengling. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America. DJ Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.